Is this the break show?
In 5, 4. This is News with Nick, November 23rd, 2019. First show in November of 2019. Maybe the last show in 2019. We don't know. I have in the studio a guest. Hello, Father.
How are you?
Here, point the mic at your mouth like right. That, like an omnidirectional.
It really has to be right up here, huh?
Yes.
Okay.
Way back in the day, did you used to do church audio?
Yes, but I don't remember having to like talk right into the mic like this.
I know, right? The mics there were maybe more directional for people who weren't used to using mics, right?
Right.
Because you just want people to walk up, say their sermon, and come back.
It should be good within 6 inches or so, shouldn't it?
It really isn't.
Okay.
Because they want the mics to be able to cut out the background noise or the echoes.
Okay.
So it's really close to talk right into it. Now, later in post-production, we do levelate the audio. So you're in town. You've flown in today for the Patriots versus Cowboys game tomorrow, right?
That's right. Yes.
And if you look over on your screen, I've brought up the weather report for tomorrow, which we've been watching very closely. It's going to be at 4 p.m., 47 and rainy.
Right.
So we were expecting it to hopefully be sunny, but it's not going to be. It doesn't look like. It's going to be rain. And however, if you get near 7 p.m. where the game is ending, it goes to showers and then it goes to mostly cloudy.
I'm still thinking I'm going to be optimistic and say it's going to clear up pretty well.
Okay. So it is the Patriots versus the Cowboys. They only play in New England once every 8 years.
So that's right.
We decided that we were going to buy some tickets. $700 a ticket.
Oh, did you have to say that?
Oops. Beep, beep, beep per ticket. And now the newfangled tickets they have is you have to have them on your phone. You can't even just take a screenshot or print it out. You've got this thing where it comes up, and then every couple seconds, the barcode on it changes, I assume based on the time of day, so that if it's a screenshot or a copy, it's not legitimate. I don't know if you knew that.
I think you told me that.
Right.
And you've got mine on there too, right? Or do I have to have mine on my phone?
Well, we should probably have two copies, right? I've got one. I've got both tickets. But we should have a backup plan.
I think I have it somewhere.
Okay. Now, 4 years ago, the Patriots played at Texas Stadium or AT&T Stadium.
Yes, they did.
And they came up with this famous photo. I don't know if you've seen this, where Brady...
We didn't go to that one.
We didn't. Brady is in the light of the Jerry Jones' son, right?
Oh, wow.
And people are hanging this photo up because the light in AT&T Stadium makes it look so good.
That's a nice one.
However, the Texas Stadium is a covered stadium. Patriot Stadium is not. It looks like this. So we're going to be up in the third row or the third area, way up here.
Yeah.
But the front row of it. So if you do need to get under the rain, I think you can just run down these stairs and duck probably under the hallway here, most likely.
Right. Going back into the refreshment area, you could probably get away out of the rain a little bit.
Sure.
With everybody else.
All right, let's go on.
And we went 8 years ago, too, didn't we?
Did we go 8 or was it 16 now? How old am I? 32? So I would have been 16 then.
It seems like we went at least 8 years ago, but maybe not.
At least or at most?
At most.
Hmm. Well, we did go to the San Diego game.
Right.
I don't think I went. I don't remember going 8 years ago.
So it was 16 years ago?
Could be.
I remember there was a time I was standing out there while you were holding the sign looking for tickets.
Although, when did Gillette get built? I don't know.
The new one? I don't know.
Because haven't we been to the new one at least once?
Yeah, we have.
Maybe it was 8 years ago then. Oh, well, I guess we'll never know.
We can probably look at the entry log and see if we were there.
Right. We have an update on a couple stories from last time. Did you see this kid? Did you watch my show last time where this kid ran a 10K accidentally.
Yes, I did. Uh-huh.
A new article has come out at theguardian.com. One recent Sunday morning, my mom and grandma drove me to a 5K race not far from where we live in St. Cloud, Minnesota, in the U.S. In the U.S.? Duh. There was a fierce thunderstorm, and when we got there, I had to wait for it to pass. I had to wait for it to pass beneath an overhang with other runners. I started to feel a little nervous because some of the people there looked really fast. They had proper running leggings and long, skinny legs. They were all different ages. I wasn't wearing running clothes, just a normal t-shirt and shorts. I'm 9 years old now, but I have been running competitively since I was 6. I love it because it makes me feel good. I have a lot of energy to use, and I can do it just by moving my legs. Sometimes I run for the sake of it. Other times I run to win. This morning, I wanted to win. Blah, 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 blah. This thing is so long. It gets to the end. My mom went up to the lady who was timing the race. She told my mom he finished first. He won the race. It's funny because in the pictures of the finish, there is no one in front or behind me. Mom assumed, as I was on my own, that I'd come in last. Which he did come in last, by the way. I had no idea where I was in the race. My mom checked whether the lady meant in my age group, and she said, no, he won the whole thing. So if you haven't heard this story, go back to last week, where the kid ran the wrong way on a route, won, quote, a 10K against nobody, and then became famous. So everyone wrote an article about him, which I guess is a nice story. Whatever.
Did he get to keep the win, the trophy or whatever?
Yes. So they changed the race director, which the race director in a small race is like the guy who runs the local gym, right?
Right.
He's like, oh, sure, we'll just change Cade's registration from the 5K to the 10K.
Oh.
Obviously, in a real race, like if it was the Olympics.
Yeah, right.
He would have come in last. That'd be funny if someone in the Olympics accidentally won the race by entering the wrong race.
That doesn't sound right. I don't know. I think somebody made a mistake.
Yes.
But if he did he really run the whole way?
Well, he ran the 10K route, yeah. Right?
Okay.
So you're supposed to point, you're supposed to sort them out.
But how did he win? How did he win with if there's nobody around him?
Well, I mean, there were other racers in the 10K, right? So the 10K and the 5K start at the same time, and they share a route. And at a certain point, there's supposed to be a volunteer that says 5Kers go this way, 10Kers go this way, right? Because the 10K has to, at some point, split off
right. To
run longer. Well, he didn't take the right route, whether it be the volunteer or him. At the end of the day, the runner is supposed to know the route.
Right.
Even though I never do. Like, if someone pointed me in the wrong way, it would be over. I'd be lost. So anyway, so he runs the 10K route, and they just say, okay, we'll just change his registration in the system to the 10K, and gave him the win. But I checked his mom's Facebook page, because I've been stalking her left and right, just to see if he's got any new articles, and this was the most recent one I'd found. So there's that. We got another update from a couple weeks ago. We had a bunch of kids who walked into the street out of a preschool, right? They'd opened the gate and they just walked into the road. 7 weeks after a group of toddlers wandered away from a Gilbert preschool and were nearly hit by cars, state officials are still continuing their investigation of the facility. So the update is they're still investigating. The Arizona Department of Health Services told the Arizona Republic that it received an official complaint stemming from the October 4th incident. Chris Minnick, spokesperson for ADHS, said the department can't comment on open investigations, but it's working with local law enforcement to address the complaint.
So what are they investigating? Who left the gate open?
I guess they're investigating how a bunch of kids could walk towards a gate, open it, and walk into the road like a bunch of geese without anyone noticing, right?
Hmm.
Apparently, it's going to be posted to the Arizona Care Check, which is a database providing information on facility and provider deficiencies at the conclusion of its investigation. So if you guys care, head on over to, or I guess Google, the Arizona Care Check, and you can check their website for places that aren't very good at their job.
That is scary.
It is scary. Is it scary?
If kids can just walk out in the street unsupervised, I would think so.
Well, you sent me to preschool. Was that scary?
Yes.
Why?
Well, actually, we had to cross the street. And I was always concerned that something might happen.
Do you know that one time when I was, so wasn't my preschool at the YMCA?
For a while, I think so, yeah.
And we used to go there sometimes as a family anyway. Like we had a family right. membership for a while for mm-hmm. the pool or the gym. And you guys had always taught me don't run into the road, which I knew. However, there was this one time that I knew not to run into the road, but I didn't know not to run full speed toward the road and then stop right at the edge.
Okay.
So you weren't here. I don't think you were there for this, but I was running out of the Y with mom and full speed down the sidewalk toward the road. And then I just stopped at the edge, but mm-hmm. this car slams on their brakes, squeals and everything. Well. Because the kid's running toward the road.
That's a good driver.
Right. But in my mind, I was super confused. I was like, I wasn't going to run in the road. Yeah. What am I, an idiot?
But only you knew that.
Right. And they would have hit me because they slid past the point where I would have been in the road.
Oh.
But I didn't run in the road, and I wasn't going to.
Okay. A little nuance there I guess we didn't explain.
Right. You can't. You have to not act like you're also going to run into the road. All right, let's see what else we have going on here. Do you see the trailer for a new movie coming out? It is for Richard Jewell. Uh-oh, hang on. Edit that part out. Boop.
All right, Richard, here's what we're going to do. We need a voice exemplar. I want you to say into this phone, there's a bomb in Centennial Park. You have 30 minutes.
Clint Eastwood film.
You're a national hero now.
Thank you, sir. But I was just doing my job.
You always look at the guy who found the bomb just like you always look at the guy who found the body.
Jewel fits the profile of the lone bomber. A frustrated white man who is a police wannabe who seeks to become a hero.
We're running it.
You're a suspect. You don't talk.
I talk. Say it.
I don't talk.
This might be the only way to clear your name. I want you to say there's a bomb in Centennial Park. You have 30 minutes.
Stop trying to be their best friend.
I was raised to respect authority.
Authority's looking to eat you alive.
There's a bomb in Centennial Park. You have 30 minutes.
I'm sorry, what?
His accusers are two of the most powerful forces in the world. The United States government.
So this is the story of the security guard who worked the Atlanta Olympics, right?
Yes.
And one of the best case known cases of the media tearing a person apart before all the facts are known.
Yeah.
Right?
They reamed him pretty good.
They arrest him. I'm not even sure. I actually forget if he was fully arrested, right? But the FBI says, we're pretty sure Richard Jewell was the guy who did the Atlanta bombings to make himself look good by pointing out the bomb and saving everyone. And so the media says it's for sure him, 100% for sure, definitely. They're just waiting for the final piece of evidence. Then it turns out it wasn't him. So now we have the movie coming out. Did you hear about this?
I've heard about the movie.
Okay.
22 years later. I mean, that happened in 96.
Right. I was pretty young then.
Yeah.
You remember this, though.
I do. I remember when it happened.
Yes.
Poor guy.
Thoughts on the story?
No, like I say, they reamed him pretty good, and they had him, pretty much had him convicted.
In the media.
They took all his, I remember he was on some TV show, like The Tonight Show or some late show. He said, they took all my dishes out of my kitchen.
Okay.
But then they brought it back, and he said, now, if you had all your stuff taken by the FBI, would you eat off of it? So it's about the only good line he ever had out of that. And then he sort of just went into hiding, and I guess he died quite a while ago.
Right.
I do want to help you. That's
too bad.
I'm law enforcement, too. There is a bomb in Centennial Park. You have 30 minutes.
Did he do it?
Richard Jewell is an innocent man. He's a hero.
There is a bomb in Centennial Park. You have 30 minutes.
One more time, just a little louder.
Well, I wonder how the movie's going to turn out. If it's going to turn out like that Sully Sullenberg movie. Did you ever see that one?
I did not see it. I read the book.
Okay. So the movie itself was, it was actually really factual, but it turned out because it was so factual, some of it wasn't all that exciting.
Yeah.
Because the actual story itself wasn't all that exciting. They wanted to play
took
up
10 minutes, Ryder.
They wanted to play up the fact that the pilot was under more investigation than he truly was. Mm. But it was still a good, if you want to know the story, I think the movie was pretty factual.
And they had to go into his life history a little bit.
Right.
Fill out the time. The book was good.
Did you see the Tournament of Champions on Jeopardy?
Yes, I did.
Played last week, where James from Jeopardy came back and won again.
He did. He's so amazing.
So they faced off against all of the previous best players from the previous season. And right. Now one of the controversial things was that they brought Emma, the person who originally beat James, back for the Tournament of Champions, even though she'd only won three games in her original run. Mm. And a lot of times you have to win at least four and usually five to even qualify for Tournament of Champions.
She didn't win enough money to come back?
Well, they go based on, I'm not sure if they go based on money or based on games won, but it's the top.
A little both.
It's got to be the top 15 players from the previous season. And people were saying that, oh, she didn't make the cut, right? This is kind of manufactured outrage. No one was really that mad, but some people were speculating that maybe she shouldn't have made it. Right, but she ends up making it all the way to the final and coming in second,
yeah,
only to James, right?
Well, she knocked him off the peak, so, I mean, that there is enough to get her on the show, I think.
Well, Nancy Zerg beat Ken Jennings and then famously lost horribly in her second game.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I don't remember that.
James,
I thought it was funny. It was like,
go ahead.
On one of the shows last week, Alex Trebek introduced James as the champion.
Oh, right. And they don't edit. They don't like edit it and then have him redo it.
Right.
They just have him like correct his mistake and point it out.
Yeah.
Which shows sort of, I guess, how in real time this show is filmed.
Right.
There's stuff edited. I think during the like the wagering phase, you get unlimited quote time. There's no time limit to how long you can spend deciding your wager.
Oh, really?
I've heard. If you spend so long, like the producers will come over and be like, are you doing okay? Because we got to move it along. Oh. But that's not part of the rules, is not that you have to take a certain amount of time.
Hmm.
James just won the Jeopardy Tournament of Champions, but you haven't seen the last of him. Holzhauer, and the long-running quiz show's two other biggest winners, Ken Jennings and Brad Rutter, will face off in a primetime Greatest of All Time tournament on ABC in January, marking the first network airing of the original Jeopardy in 30 years. Wait, meaning the first time it's on ABC?
Well, it's always been syndicated, right?
Oh, yeah, what's the difference?
It's just released to all stations. It could be on any of your networks.
Okay. When James had his run last year, a lot of people were wondering how well would he do against Ken Jennings or Brad Rutter. So anyway, they're going to take all three of them. They basically said, hey, how can we make some more money off this James guy? And they said, let's bring him back for another tournament.
And give him more money.
Right? And then he wins this one. It's going to be the best of all of the best people of all time of any game show ever. Right?
Mm.
And then they have to have people from Who Wants to Be a Millionaire or what are the other quiz shows? Family Feud.
Oh,
just
no,
kidding.
Please. Who's going to take over for Alex Trebek?
Nobody knows. Because he has cancer or what?
Well, he's...
Or because just because he's old.
Either that or he's going to, you know, retire at some point.
The chat wonders, if all these kids ran into the street unsupervised from the preschool, how many of them will win races? See, they call back to the... See, that's what the chat does, is they make callbacks to previous stories. Make jokes about it. Ooh, boy. All right, we got another update. Wait, what were we talking about? Oh, so... No, I still have some more on Jeopardy. So remember this guy, Austin Rogers? He won like 12 Jeopardies or whatever. I didn't really watch around that time, but he was cool because he had wild hair or a weird beard and acted weird.
He was in the audience the other day.
Yeah, 2 days ago, TMZ found him.
The wild card that I'm really excited about.
They've interviewed him about the Greatest of All Time tournament.
The thing that's the wild card that I'm really excited about is the Emmy-winning writers of Jeopardy are diabolical. They are nefarious. They're going to throw the entire kitchen sink at writing questions. Because think of this, the normal day-to-day gameplay of Jeopardy, the writers don't know who they're writing for. For this tournament, everyone's a known quantity, so they know exactly who they're writing for, and they're going to write these questions specifically to flummox and fluster the three of those guys, because they know exactly what they know. So they're gonna, I mean, there's gonna be questions about like Sia and Lizzo, and not questions about like the Battle of Agincourt and the Magna Carta. It's gonna be awesome. I can't wait.
So do you think whoever wins
singer Sia?
I don't know. Let's skip ahead and see if he has anything else to say. I don't watch these before I play them on the show.
Oh.
I just click them and see if they're good. Most of the time, they're not.
Just kind of wing it here.
I can't predict it. I can't predict if we're going to see conservative play, aggressive play, or some sort of hybrid. But what I think we're going to see is Ken and Brad are going to have to play James's style. They've never played his style before. They have to a certain extent, but they're going to have to literally play exactly how he plays, right? Because they know.
Meaning, go for high value clues first, right?
And jump around the board. That's one thing I miss. I was mentioning to Joan the other day. They used to just start at the top, right? I'll take for a 200, or it actually used to be like a 100.
Right.
And they worked their way right down the board.
Yes.
And the way the questions were written was that they would build on each other. They get consecutively harder.
That makes sense. The more value it is, the harder they are.
But sometimes they would also reference back to a previous one.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, indirectly.
Okay.
You know, so you'd kind of have an idea of what they were going for, but you'd have to start at the lower end to get an easy one. But now you just jump right into the $1,000 one. And it could be the hardest one, and there's no context for it. Even though you know the category, you're kind of not sure what the writers are going for.
Hmm.
So I kind of missed that. They did get back to that a little bit this past week. We're just going down the board in sequence.
Well, I guess some of the players who are still filming, right, they probably have been watching their whole lives. And they're not about to change their style necessarily for some new guy that comes in and plays it in reverse. Which it seems strange that it took 30-some years for someone to just go, oh, what if I just played the board in reverse and see what happens?
Yeah.
Like in Ready Player One, right?
Right.
Let me just drive in reverse.
Drive the race backwards.
And see what happens.
That was not in the book, by the way.
Do you read the book of every movie?
I try to read a lot of the books first. If I'm going to see a movie that was a book first, I try to read the book, but And then I go see the movie and I go, well, that wasn't right. That wasn't like the book. But you kind of can't do that. But there's so much stuff in the book that I like that's, you know, and then I go to the movie and I see, oh, I want to see if they imaged it, you know, the way I imagined it. And then they change it.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
So was Ready Player One written by like a famous person?
I think Steven Spielberg took a lot of it, took liberties with.
No, but I mean the book part.
The book. I forget who wrote the book. It was not a famous person.
Okay.
It was.
Well, they're famous now, I guess.
I don't know. He's written a couple books. I can't even remember his name. It's like Melvin or something. But
sure.
Look it up. It was a very good book. Book was much better than the movie, but obviously you want to have the visuals.
Ernest Cline. Does
Ernest
that sound
Cline.
Right?
Yeah, that's right.
Took Ernest Cline 10 years to write Ready Player One. There were times he thought he would never finish the manuscript. Man, 10 years. So when he started writing, VR didn't even exist, right? Well, it existed in concept. VR has been a sci-fi,
right?
A science fiction thing for quite a while. But by the time Ready Player One released, VR was becoming like something you could buy and put in the room over there.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, it looked like he put it far enough in the future that he thought, well, maybe this will be a regular thing by then.
Sure. And they make it look like, every person has their VR set up.
Yeah.
And their haptic feedback suit that
right.
if you get punched in VR, you get punched in your haptic feedback suit.
Right.
And they're not there yet, but finger tracking is coming. Or already here or something, and it's relatively easy to add like belt or shoe tracking, to these VR setups, right? And at that point, you have almost full body tracking.
Right.
And improving the optics a bit and the audio makes it feel kind of like you're in whatever world you put yourself in, right?
I'm afraid it's going to come to that eventually.
You're afraid?
Well, only because I don't think I'll be around.
Okay.
I kind of like to see, you know, what happens when it's like fully realized. And you can actually do almost anything you want to in VR. But then they also have these, one of the things about VR is the psychology of bringing somebody out of it. It's like, do you wake up somebody from when they're sleepwalking?
Because I don't know.
It could cause damage. So, and the thing is, like, if somebody's VR, in the middle of VR, and you just bring them out of it, what'll that do to their psyche?
Well, right, like in The Matrix, you mean?
Yeah, kind of.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, in VR right now,
yeah,
it's fine. But it still is a little jarring when you take off that headset and you're just in space, or you're just like in a gym, bowling, or in a bar.
It is.
And you take it off and you go, oh, I'm just in my dark bedroom.
Right. Do you remember racing the race cars? What was that called? Silicon Speedway?
Yeah. So there was a arcade style system, right? They'd put you in a car that looked like a real stock NASCAR and surround you with three screens and a steering wheel. And so it was like you were in an arcade, but it was also had jacks and hydraulics or whatever that could move the car around as you raced around the track. And for the time, that was pretty good.
I wish that had taken, you know, no pun intended. I wish that had taken off. But
right.
Once we were doing it, we did it like two or three times or so. And I'm driving along, and I know this is fake, right? Because I got a screen here, and then, like you say, it's like three screens.
Yeah, and it's not 3D. VR is 3D.
Yeah, it's not even 3D.
You can do both eyes separately.
And at one point, I was going to look to see who was coming up behind me, and I went...
You looked behind you?
Oh, yeah, this is not even real.
Right? That happens all the time. I'm in VR, and I sometimes try to put something on the table in front of me in VR.
Right.
I'm like, no, I'm just standing in the room, standing in the bedroom. So I never got... You must read a lot, like you just said. I never got that from you. I never got the reading.
No, you didn't.
Sorry about that.
Is that because of your bad eyes?
No, it's probably because I got a computer.
Oh, you just... Yeah, I'm sorry. That's my fault.
Right.
But no, we read a lot. I mean, I remember clearly sitting in my chair and having you guys, you and Natalie, sitting there reading a book with me.
Yes. Well, that was fine. But like, it's not something I ever did on my own on purpose. If it was outside of school.
Yeah.
We could blame the public education system. That's what some people would do and say, oh, you forced the kids to read The Great Gatsby. Which I read every word of The Great Gatsby, and I don't remember a single piece of it because I just zoned out. My eyes skimmed the words, but I zoned out.
You had to read The Great Gatsby? What grade was that?
11?
Really?
This is why I did poorly on the written part of the SAT, too. Like, I read the section, and they would ask questions about the section, and I went, I don't remember. I skimmed it. So...
Well, skimming is fine, but you know, you can't really skim for content and retention.
Well, that's what I tried to do, apparently, and that's why I got only a 520 on the... no, wait. Was it 520? I don't even know what my SAT score was. It was either 1220 or 1280.
Oh, well, that's pretty good overall.
It's okay. It's no Justin, 1400, my friend.
Well, nobody's Justin.
From high school, right. Yeah, so sorry about that, too. So I had a friend in high school. Do you want to talk about Justin? Have you seen pictures of him recently?
I have not.
All right, let me see if I can... I'm not going to be able to pull him up on your monitor, most likely. He got married at 20, right?
Yeah.
Couldn't even drink at his own wedding. And here I am at a... 30-something, and still can't, don't have any kids. He's got three.
Yeah.
So sorry about that.
Well, Justin, I don't know what, he wanted to grow up early.
Right.
You know, and he did. He just went out there and got a family.
So speaking of why you're here for the football game, that is one thing that I caught from you. And so I was getting some gear to go to the game because I don't have many Cowboys things to wear. So I'm like, eh, I don't really want to get a shirt necessarily or another hat because I don't really wear hats around. But I was at the mall and they had a sports store. So I picked up a Cowboys scarf, right? So I'll wear that tomorrow.
Okay.
But as I'm checking out, you can
like
never...
a muffler scarf?
Like a scarf for your neck?
Yeah.
Right.
Wraps around.
I guess. Is that what a scarf... What's the other type of scarf?
Well, I usually just think of a scarf like the survivor scarf, you know.
Oh, the buff.
Yeah.
Survivor buff.
A muffler. I usually think of a muffler. The long one that wraps around your neck.
Okay. Anyway, so you can't go anywhere these days without someone talking to you. So I'm checking out, and the girl's like, oh, are you a Cowboys fan? Are you from Dallas? And I go, no. I have no excuse. So you, of course, remember why I ended up being a Cowboys fan, which was because when I was old enough to even understand sort of what was going on the TV,
right?
I was 8 or 9, and it was Super Bowl 30,
yeah,
and the Cowboys beat the Steelers.
That's right.
And I said, huh, those Cowboys seem okay. I guess I'll just follow them, right?
Troy Aikman.
Yes, Troy Aikman.
Emmitt Smith.
And Emmitt Smith and Michael Irvin.
Yeah. Jimmy Johnson.
Was Jimmy Johnson in Super Bowl 30, or was that Barry Switzer by then?
Might have been Barry Switzer.
Or did he not win anything? I don't even remember. See, I don't know anything about this. So then I follow the team, and then you accidentally just become a fan because you're like, well, that's right. The team I know about.
Well, the heart wants what it wants, you know?
Right, but had I started following the Raiders... accidentally, I'd probably be a Raiders fan.
Right.
Or had the Steelers won Super Bowl 30, what if I was like, oh, I'll switch to being a Steelers fan suddenly? Anyway, so that's why we're going.
Well, you're a Cowboys fan, but you're also a Patriots fan, I know.
Oh, sure. The Patriots are fine.
And I'm a Patriots fan, but I also grew up as a Rams fan.
Why is that?
Because I was born and raised in L.A.,
The Rams just barely moved back to L.A., right?
Well, they were in Los Angeles most of my life.
Okay.
And they moved to St. Louis for a while.
So right.
As far as I'm concerned, that was just like a little, eh, they're in St. Louis, and they came back.
Yeah. And then the Chargers moved from San Diego also to Los Angeles.
Right.
Which seems dumb. It's like, couldn't someone have told the other one, hey, we're going here? No, we're going here? They both got there, and they were like, oops, we're both here? Or is it just that they wanted to give one city? No, obviously I know that they didn't accidentally show up
right
at the same time at the same city. But it seems a little unfair that they would just send two. Why don't we all just play in like Chicago? So every team can play in Chicago because it's centrally located.
Well, I think they thought Los Angeles had been without an NFL team long enough. So they went from no teams to two.
Okay, so they have to make up for it for the next 10 or 15 years. But
I really agree. I don't understand why the Chargers want to go to L.A. First of all, they alienated all their San Diego fans. And how many fans do they have in L.A.? I mean, now they have to build up there.
Right, because they'd be competing with those like you who just remember the Rams having been an L.A. team, right?
Right.
Interesting. So I guess the Chargers just have no fans.
The Los Angeles Clippers did the same thing. They were in San Diego, and they moved up to L.A., but that was a long time ago.
This show is turning into a real Brett-style show. Well, Brett does it just about baseball stadiums, though. But that's okay. I guess tune out if you don't want to hear football talk. It is the Cowboys versus Patriots weekend. Countdown is coming. Blah, blah, blah. So what were we saying? So they both moved to L.A. That's why you're a Rams fan.
Yes.
And then one thing...
Well, I was a Rams fan when they were... They started in L.A., so...
Right. Yes. Sorry. And then as a kid, because I was into football, I'd wanted to play football for a while. Obviously, every kid who loves football is like, ooh,
yeah,
I want to play football, right?
Right.
So I looked at football on TV, and I said, well, these guys are pretty big. 200, 300 pounds. I got to get up to 200, 300 pounds to play football. Do you remember this happening?
No.
You don't remember this at all?
What? You wanted to put on weight?
Where I purposely tried to eat more food to bulk up because I didn't realize that these people are not just 200 pounds of fat. They're 200 pounds of muscle for the most part. So I would eat a lot of McDonald's and a lot of unhealthy food.
Mm.
And sometimes I go, I wonder why mom and dad didn't just tell me to like do push-ups or work on the weight machine or something.
I honestly don't remember that. I remember you had the helmet.
Right.
Patriots helmet.
This is during the time I hung out with the kid Alex down the street.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
And he actually ended up playing football for a bit in high school.
He was big.
Right. And
wait,
I was like,
Alex? Alex. Yeah, okay. I remember an Alex.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm thinking of another kid you hung out with, too. Mark. Yeah.
Oh, Mark. Yes. Mark was enormous as well. bigger than Alex.
Yeah. That's right. I remember Alex.
And Mark still is in the area. From time to time, I like run into him.
Oh,
and
yeah?
I'll go, Mark? And he'll go, Nick? Like sometimes at the Speedway.
Okay.
Was one of the times I saw him. So whatever. He's still alive. So you didn't let me play football, though, as a kid. Was there any chance that you were ever going to let me play football?
We didn't let you play?
Right. Like I said, hey, parents, the local football league is like within my age range now. Should I play? And mom was basically like, no.
Well, I think mom said no. I didn't
really push it that hard.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of curious what would have happened if you guys had like put me in football instead of baseball.
It probably would have been. It would have turned out all right.
Tackled a few times and quit.
I think it's kind of self, eliminating. So you can play in those sports for so long, and then at some point you discover what you can do and what you can't do. I actually went out for the football team.
So wait, the problem would have taken care of itself? Like I wouldn't have been able to do it? And so I would have been like, whoop, never mind.
Probably.
Okay, cool.
Or you would have found out you would have found out you were good at it.
Oh, right.
I mean, one way or the other. I'm not saying that you weren't. I did. But it might have been mom just said, no, we're not going to have anybody playing football. So.
Okay. Well, probably a good idea because the highest chance of getting injured is most likely in football, unfortunately, where two people line up and say, let's bash our heads into each other.
Right.
So I played baseball instead. Well, not instead. I'd been playing baseball for a while, right? I don't remember if I necessarily started before or after football.
No, I think you started playing T-ball and played all the way up to... You didn't play T-ball?
I never played T-ball.
Oh, Natalie did.
Nat did, for sure. I would have never been a kid who hit a ball off a tee. As you know, there's videos of me hitting a pitched ball, probably at the age of T-ball players, right?
Uh-huh.
I could hit a pitched ball to me from you. I would have been the best T-ball player. I would have been like, why is it on a tee? This is crazy.
That's right. Yeah, I was pitching balls to you before you could talk hardly.
We should publish some of those videos on the website. Maybe some of the videos of me hitting the balls.
Yeah.
Hitting the ball. Anyway, so I played baseball for a while, and then you got to a point where kids started to pitch in the middle to innings, right? It would be coaches pitch because kids are horrible at throwing straight, and then kids would pitch for like a couple innings, and then coaches would take over again. And during these couple innings where kids pitched, it was always just a walk fest.
Yes.
Ball after ball after ball.
Right.
And for a long time, I just stood there going, how hard could it be to just throw the ball into the strike zone? Right? And everyone got a chance. And eventually, it became my chance to be the pitcher to throw the ball into the strike zone to see if I could do it.
And you did.
And do you remember what happened?
Yeah. You ended up striking out people.
Right. I got up there and I said, this can't be that hard. And I threw it.
Yeah.
And I just kept throwing strikes. And people were like, whoa, amazing.
I remember that.
And that happened about four games. And then I was terrible again. But
I do have video of you pitching, though.
And I never threw very hard. But at that age, I was like, the goal is to just get it to the catcher's mitt in the strike zone. And I was doing it.
Yeah, you were.
And better than anyone else on the team.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thanks. Just wanted to make sure everyone knew that.
No. That was impressive. And you had long hair.
Yeah, I would grow my hair out.
We were afraid to cut your hair because it would take away your baseball skill.
Yes.
Remember the name of your team?
Braves?
Braves. You did have a Braves. You also had the A's.
I do remember one year that they couldn't find a full uniform, so we got a different jersey than our hats. Like, we got two different teams.
Oh, really?
Yes, but we were on the roster as one team, but we actually had the wrong hats or something. Uh-oh. Because the league couldn't find the right ones. I don't even know what the deal was. I didn't question it. I was a kid. I wanted to play baseball. Yeah.
I don't remember that.
And the cool thing was, for 2 years, every coach is supposed to go to the team meeting and they redraft their kids, right? And we had these two coaches that were actually really dedicated to the team and were dedicated to winning, and they called a lot of practices, and they called probably more practices than you wanted. I remember you saying a couple times, don't these coaches know that these kids have other lives? But no, they called a lot of practices and put us through a lot of drills, and we won the championship, I'm pretty sure. And then the next year, what they did was they drafted 80% of the same kids. So we were all the same team again.
You're right.
That was pretty cool. Good story.
Yeah, I remember that team.
Update. Oh, sorry. Did you want to say more?
I was trying to think of the name of the team. That was Steve, the policeman, right? He was a policeman.
Well, I didn't know he was evil back then. So, I'm sure he's evil as a cop, but he was fine as a coach. Or he was a little evil as a coach, too, but
he was a little,
in a good way.
Yeah. Those guys were pretty serious. I mean, the only thing I didn't like about, well, I shouldn't say the only thing, but one thing about that team was that they sort of pigeonholed players. If you went out and they wanted you at second base, you were there for the whole season. And I tried to talk to them. I said, you know, let these kids need to, you know, like, feel what they want to do. I mean, maybe they want to try another position. And they know,
right?
We get everybody where we want them.
I guess they figured by age 12 we'd had a couple years to already figure out our position.
Yeah, maybe. But they did let you pitch.
We had a story a couple weeks ago of a kid who had called emailed the L.A. County Fair, speaking of L.A., and said, there's going to be a shooting. I heard about it.
Eric Villasenor, arrested last night after making threats that were directed towards the L.A. County Fair. So it started yesterday at about 2:49 in the afternoon. The Los Angeles County Fair officials or the Fairflex staff received an email.
A Southern California man's ploy, and I've read this on the show. This is an update. To avoid getting to the L.A. County Fair with his parents landed him in jail, according to police. They said they received an email. The email said, hello, I was told that someone was planning on doing a mass shooting on Sunday at the fairgrounds. I just wanted to inform you guys already. After receiving the message, the fair staff alerted authorities and an investigation began. Obviously, in today's world, a message like this is very concerning. Police said that within an hour, three people had been identified as possible suspects, but a digital footprint helped investigators narrow it down to one in particular. Eric Villasenor, a 22-year-old who lives with his parents, was arrested on false threat charges and booked into the Pomona jail. So I go, all right, let's see if we can find this guy on Facebook, right?
I mean, that's really, you don't want to go to the fair. That's pretty.
Yeah.
He didn't want to get out of the basement.
Yeah. I don't know what the deal was, but I wanted to find out. So I go on Facebook and I say, Eric Villasenor, right? And I try to look for kids who are about his age. And I try to look for people who live in this area. So I finally find a guy who goes by Eric Sykes on Facebook. And I go, hi, Eric. Did you send an email to the LA County Fair, which was reported on in the news last week? Either way, I like your eyeliner. Because he happens to have a weird Facebook photo.
You message this guy on...
Weeks go by. A couple weeks go by. I assume that this person didn't see it. It would have gone to his other inbox. Like Facebook has this thing where if you're messaged by someone who's not related to you, it doesn't pop up all the time. It's not easy to see. So I think he's never going to see it. A couple weeks go by. I get a reply. It says, yes, this was me.
Oh.
So at first I'm like, could it really be him? So I write back. Hi, Eric. Thanks for the reply. Reports from later in September say that a plea deal was reached regarding this. Is the sentence then delayed or suspended? Because at this point, if it was late September and he got a plea deal for 180 days in jail, he would still be in jail by the time this message was written. So I'm getting a little suspicious. He says, I already took the plea deal. All right. I said, the report says 180 days in jail. So when does that start? Also, I have a small podcast where I read news stories, and you came up last month. This is why I'm curious. So I try to be upfront with people. These other podcasts, they'll call places around. They'll pretend to be customers. They'll pretend to be friends. They'll be like, hey, can you give me some information on the new Impossible Burger and whether it's really impossible or if it's not impossible? Because I'm just a customer. No. I come out and I say that I am with newswithnick.com, and then nobody can sue me, I guess, right?
Anybody can sue you.
No one's sued me yet. Well, at least for this. So Eric writes back. He says, the deal was that I serve 180 days, but you can serve 10% of that in California, apparently, which is 18 days and be released. So on a first-time offense,
wow,
you're allowed to serve first-time nonviolent or whatever. Well, maybe. I don't even know if this is considered nonviolent. I guess he wasn't really violent. Which would be 18 days and then be released.
That sounds like California.
He says, I ended up serving 2 weeks, so that was even less than 10%. And I said, so what, you got home this morning or yesterday? And I said, would you be open to an audio interview over Facebook call? So I tried to get him on a call. He says, I don't know if I would be comfortable. And I said, okay, so were you held until the plea hearing? He says, yes. So he was arrested that day, held into the arraignment, took the plea, said he did it, and served like 2 weeks in jail. And he says, I just want to make one thing clear. I know it may sound crazy and hard to believe, but I didn't do that out of malintent. I didn't want to hurt anyone. I don't own any guns. I had never been in trouble before. I made a big mistake because I was going through a lot of personal things at the time. It's still no excuse, but I didn't do it because I wanted to hurt anyone. I said, blah, blah, blah. I believe that's true. I'm just curious what you expect the outcome to be. Were you surprised that it was traced back to you? Did you want to cause panic or have the event shut down? I asked him a couple questions about why he did this. And he writes back, sorry, but I don't feel comfortable answering any more questions. This is over, and I want to leave it all in my past.
Okay.
I said, thank you for your time. And he says, thanks for understanding. So anyway, that's an update from Eric. Yeah.
Well, see, he owned it, right?
What is that supposed to mean, though?
He took responsibility, did his time.
Well, so did Dylan Roof, owned it.
And, well, that's, you know, that was violent. But this guy knows he made a mistake. Maybe he's learned something and doesn't want to go into it anymore.
I just wanted to hear what he had to say. Yeah. Like, oops.
But I can sort of...
I was at an internet cafe or...
I can sort of see him getting a little, like, I don't want to talk about it anymore.
It is a little interesting. Well, sure, that's fine. He's allowed to do that, but that doesn't help my show.
No.
But
you got something.
They tracked it down. They tracked it down pretty quickly, though. So I wonder if he was just not on a VPN or what. Just trying to figure that stuff out.
That's getting to be real sad these days that people can just, like, email or text or call and say, well, I think there might be a bomb in school tomorrow. This happened twice, 2 days in a row. I forget if it was Grand Rapids or Kalamazoo or someplace. And they just shut down all the schools.
Really?
Yeah, somebody makes this, you know, I just don't want to go to school that day.
Well, this has been happening since Columbine, right?
Mm.
I mean, we had a bomb threat in middle school, and it shut down the school, and we had to walk outside. And then we had another bomb threat, and they said, it's probably not real. So they wisened up. And a bunch of times I've been like, if there's a suspicious package, I think the police, instead of calling the bomb squad, should just like find a homeless person or me and be like, all right, it's going to cost us a couple thousand to call the bomb squad, right? Probably over 10,000. Maybe not that much, but still, they've got to commute in from Concord or Manchester. We don't have a bomb squad locally. Hours of overtime. Instead, you just get a homeless guy.
Well, you can't sacrifice
people's lives. $150. Well, no, the point is, most likely it's not a bomb.
Right.
Most likely it's a case of beer that someone forgot, and then the homeless guy gets $150 plus a case of beer. Worst case, we're out one homeless guy. And that seems like best case.
And I think I heard there was a football game or something that was like somebody found a shoebox. And then that was, it's like yesterday this happened.
Right? I don't even know.
Somebody found a shoebox, but it was after the game. So people had to like hurry and get out of the, cleared the arena or stadium, whatever. Vague in my mind, even though I just read it. I didn't read the details.
Sorry, yeah, I don't see anything about a shoebox bomb threat. Oh, hang on. The Utah Jazz Arena evacuated minutes after game over suspicious shoebox. Oh, nope, it's not. It's one of those videos.
It's never the right video.
The arena in Salt Lake City was evacuated Friday night after a suspicious shoebox was found underneath a table. The discovery came minutes after the Utah Jazz defeated the Warriors. Players still in uniform left the building with the crowd without even going to their locker rooms. We don't know if it's anything explosive. So far, we have just found a suspicious package. Public safety is paramount. The bomb squad was called in after a bomb-sniffing dog reacted to the shoebox.
Oh.
What? The package was returned. The package turned out to be a toolbox, and the teams were allowed to return to the building 2 hours later. Yep. Wow. Amazing. Good story. All right, so we've been recording for a while. Are you good to keep going, or do you need a break, or do you want to quit and go to bed?
No, I'm fine for a while.
All right. So you haven't been in the house for a while here. This is the house I bought, stupidly, 6.5 years ago. It is paid off now, so I'm not saying it's paid off, but it's paid off. Like, the money has gone into the house, but I'm like, has it paid off to have bought a house? I don't know.
You have no mortgage.
Correct, yes. So that's fine. But then the tax bill comes, and I go, well, that's still expensive.
Yes.
And as you know, this past summer, I've been putting off doing the roof, right? Or doing any major work to the house. Because anytime I want to do major work to the house, I go, well, what if something horribly goes wrong? Well, what are the chances that's going to happen? You're paying professionals that are not going to have anything horribly go wrong, right? Well, they come and do this roof, and they let a bunch of rainwater in, and it stains the ceilings and ruins the insulation in the attic. And you can see up there, there was a spot that I didn't even notice that's still stained.
Oh.
And the ceilings will never be the same, necessarily, in the other room either. Right. You can still see it.
Yeah, you had quite a flood.
Well, it wasn't even a flood. It was like, it was leaking. A flood's different.
Right? A flood
comes up.
Okay, a downpour. a fall.
Now, I kind of wish that I hadn't even been here. Like, what if I'd been like, you know, the roof's getting fixed. I'm going to go spend the weekend in the White Mountains or something. What if I'd done a trip and I come back and like the house is ruined?
Yeah.
Or what I could have done was like dump extra water, but make sure it just goes right into the mattress and then like, whoop, mattress is ruined too.
No. You were pretty stressed.
Yeah. Which leads me to the point that it seems like having a house is just waiting for the next horrible thing to happen. Right? Maybe not right, but like that's what it feels like.
When you own a house, it's always something. I mean, yeah, we had the house in Keene for 25 years, and I mean, as you know, we probably had every pest inside the house that you could think of.
I can only think of bats.
Bats, ants, bees.
Oh, when were there bees? There was a bee. I want to go through. I want to hear every problem that the house ever had. And this is going to take a while, so strap in, folks, in the chat.
I'm not sure I can think of them all. But we had the squirrel.
So there's a squirrel. Yeah. So what about the beehive?
We had hornets.
Hang on, stop.
Or wasps.
Go back. Go slower. So there's a beehive in the house?
It was in the subfloor over the living room.
Okay.
In the corner.
And so what made you think that that was there? Or did you find it accidentally?
We found it accidentally because they were sort of seeping into the house. Every now and then a bee would actually get into the living area.
Okay.
So I'm trying to figure out where it came from. So I went outside and I looked at the corner of the house. And we can actually see bees going in and out of the house.
Oh, that happens to my house sometimes.
And then we kind of went up, and I forget if I heard them. But I called the pest guy, and he found the hole they were getting in, and he just sprayed it. He sprayed just a bunch of poison in there. And they killed them.
Okay.
But then it started to smell. I mean, think of a billion bee carcasses in your subfloor.
Huh?
That's going to stink.
Okay.
So every time you know where we had the easy chair in the corner?
Yeah.
By the radiator?
Right.
Right above that. You could walk to that corner. It was like, oh, that's a horrible smell. So I dug into the ceiling and exposed a beehive that was probably 2 feet long.
Oh, my goodness.
By a foot wide, and I had to dig all that out.
I probably have that. How long must that have meant taken to make for them?
Oh, probably, I don't know. I don't know bees, but probably years.
Oh, my goodness. So wait, you went in, and they were all dead, though?
Well, they were all dead by then.
Okay, so you had to dig into the ceiling, and you took the whole beehive out.
Right.
And then I remember there was like a panel there for the rest of time.
That's why that panel was there, because I couldn't fix the ceiling. I just put a little piece of ceiling and I put a molding around it.
Huh. Well, that seems smart.
To make it kind of looked like a trap door, but it wasn't.
You couldn't
get in there.
There was no access to it.
No.
Okay.
We had wasps, I think. Which ones are the black ones? Wasps or hornets?
I don't know.
In the attic.
Right.
And they were on the south wall of the house, and they were just crawling up the whole wall there.
Did you find those by accident too?
I forget how I found those. I mean, I didn't have to go in the attic too often, but maybe I heard them, or maybe they were like every now and then you'll see one get in the house.
Yeah.
And you go, where are they coming in? So this was a trap door in the den, right?
Well, an attic access hole, just like I have right here.
Right. So I peeked up there with a flashlight, and it's just, they were just a billion of them.
Oh, my goodness. What's that feel like?
That's scary.
You just look in your attic, and it's just a billion wasps.
The wall is like crawling.
Oh, my goodness. This is insane.
Yeah.
I obsessively check my attic. So the only thing that's up there now is mice.
Yeah. We actually didn't have too many mice.
Okay.
We had... none of that kind of vermin. I mean, no rats and mice. We had rat pets, as you recall. But we also had a leak in the ceiling or in the roof. Not as bad as what you had, but we had a leak behind our wood stove, because when they put the wood stove in, and this is the people that had the house before us, they cut around the chimney of the wood stove, and they left it open up there. So water was coming in through that opening around the chimney. And that's also where the bats got in.
Okay.
And so I went up to the chimney or the attic one day, and I was like crawling. You have to crawl back. You know how you have to stay on the beams. And I took a flashlight, and I saw the water it was like a river.
Oh, my goodness.
Flowing. So we had to get that fixed.
Flowing to where?
It was flowing from the hole in the, by the chimney, down into the wall behind the wood stove.
Oh, okay. So just dumping water into the wall.
Just dumping it, yeah.
Oh, that seems healthy. All righty.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, so there was the time where the sewer backed up.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so as a kid, as a kid, all this stuff just seemed like, oh, it's a thing with the house.
Yeah.
It's a big, who cares? It'll be taken care of.
Right.
Or if, at worst case, like, it's kind of an adventure.
Right.
Right? So tell me about the sewer backing up.
Well, that was either a design flaw with the city's sewer system, or it just got so old, like, it was crumbling under the street.
Okay.
So down the street from us, if you go around Pine Street down to Cross.
Well, now they know where we live.
Well, we don't anymore, but if that got too much rain and got backed up, it would flow back down the street.
Whoa.
Into our basement.
Okay.
Now, the good thing is it didn't actually come into the house. It would sort of raise the level. It would be a water level in the utility sink in the basement. Remember the basement sink down there?
Yeah.
So the water would start to rise.
Oh, my goodness.
But then one day I went down there and I stupidly took off the cover of that big black pipe.
Yeah, why?
That's what I say. I don't know.
You don't know.
I don't know why I did that.
Was it during a rainstorm?
Maybe I thought I could clean it out. You know, I could just open up this and clean it out a little bit. But as soon as I got the plug off, I lost grip of it, and it went flying, and then just crap started to flow back into the house.
Right. From the sewer system.
From the sewer system.
Now, so how long did that flow for?
Well, not too long. I was able to reach and find the cap again, and I stuck it back in there.
Okay.
And then we got, remember having to clean the basement?
I do.
Yeah, that's when we cleaned the whole basement floor.
Now, how did you decide that the problem was with the city's sewer? How did you know that it was the city sewer and not sewer that was still on your property?
You know, I don't know how we found that out, but we must have called Public Works at some point and say, you know, why is this stuff coming back in here? And they checked it out. And then they're the ones that figured out they had to go down the street.
Oh.
To, unblock that. But then after they did the rebuild, you know, all the streets tore up for the new sewer system, that fixed it. So that doesn't happen anymore.
Okay. Weird.
Yeah.
So we had to rent a shop vac or whatever and take a literal hose to the entire basement, at which point we almost electrocuted ourselves because the freezer or the refrigerator was still running and we filled the basement with water, right?
Right. We were standing in ankle-deep water with a refrigerator who was shorting out.
Right. It was sparking.
Yeah.
And we're standing there.
There was almost had four in the Ryder family in the... Probably could have been in the newspaper the next day. Although I think the short would have broken the breaker before anything happened to us.
Hopefully. But, well, nowadays you've got to have those GFCI outlets, right? That if the electricity is going anywhere but back to the source, like into a person or into a water source, it immediately shuts off the power.
Well,
but back in those days, maybe we didn't have that.
I doubt if they still have that. I mean, that's for new installations and if you're having it inspected.
Right? Yeah. When I was shopping for houses around here, a lot of them didn't necessarily have updated electric. Some of them had basements that the electric system was extension cords running from plugs under in the joists.
And we did have to have the electrical updated before we sold the house. Yeah.
Why? You had to? Well, you don't have to do anything.
Oh, you had to. Oh, or not sell the house.
No, you don't. There's no law that says it has to be. You can sell houses as is all the time. Yes. No. Call in, listeners.
No, they made us, as far as getting the legal, you know, you had to have a lawyer and you had to have inspectors. And as far as all that goes, we had to upgrade the electrical.
Oh, well, I guess I'm never selling this house. Not because of the electrical, because they'll find something else.
They'll make you bring it up to grade.
Well, I bought it as is. Not as is, but I bought it. It just hasn't gotten worse since I bought it. So how could they have possibly sold it to me? Right? See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay, so...
Maybe you didn't have a good lawyer.
Fine. I didn't have a lawyer at all. The sellers didn't have a lawyer.
Okay.
Lawyers don't get involved. In fact, you can buy a house from a person. You can just walk up to a person and buy the house. you have to have a title company to transfer the title, but there's no inspector that comes in and says, this is good to transfer.
I don't know. You might want to check on that.
I'm pretty sure that
when a property changes hands, especially in Keene, they put you through the mill.
All right.
Well, I think they, you know, it's not a bad thing to do that. Make sure it's all up to standard and all that. But we had to change a few things. We had to have some mold inspected.
Okay.
You know.
How'd that go?
We had no mold.
Oh, that's good. I probably do.
It looked like it was places that looked like mold, but it wasn't. So that checked out fine.
Okay. There was, let's see. I remember the time that we woke up in the middle of the night. And I have the video of it here.
Oh, boy. CO2?
No, not CO2. But it is funny that you say that.
CO1?
CO1.
You do, huh? Yeah. Okay.
This is okay, so you're cold and you're in a hurry. Do you want to play?
So I'm recording. I'm 21 or something. And I'm following Mom into the living room. Ask her what did the fireman just say is wrong with the house?
What did he just say?
He said we have CO throughout the house.
CO. But we,
carbon dioxide. Carbon monoxide.
Natalie's standing there going, no, carbon monoxide. CO1.
CO.
CO?
CO.
Oh my goodness, we almost died of carbon monoxide?
It's a good thing something smelled.
How did it smell? Well,
there's oil leaking somewhere.
Have you seen this video or have you seen
it? I've seen it.
But have you seen it recently?
Not recently. Maybe a year or two ago, I watched it again.
Oh, really? Maybe we'll post this on the show page as well.
Because I dubbed all of your DVDs that I could find from the physical disc onto my computer, so I'd have them.
Nice. So we wake up, and Dad says there's smoke throughout the house, right?
I forget, but it was our stove. I mean our boiler down in the basement.
Yes.
The old one.
What happened?
I don't know.
Okay.
I guess it got old.
To this day, you don't know what caused us all to almost die?
I don't.
All right.
I don't remember. I mean, maybe I knew at the time.
Okay. So, yeah, they'd said the boiler had backfired or acted up. And the reason I thought of this the other day was because I had someone from the Run Club say the exact same thing just happened this past weekend. And his wife like went to the hospital out of precautionary reasons for the carbon monoxide exposure.
And we had all kinds of things at that house.
There was the time where you had a company come reattach the porch to the house. What was that about?
The side porch.
Yes.
Well, there's so much snow and heavy ice that went over the side of the house. It got between the house and the porch and just...
Whoa.
Got in there and expanded. So the porch was like falling off the house.
Like how potholes are formed, but only with the house.
Right.
Oh my goodness. So ice would go between the house and then freeze.
Right. And it pushed the porch probably a foot off the house.
A foot?
Nah.
Whoa. Okay.
It was at least 6 inches, but it was quite a ways. And I had several companies come and they said, no, we can't fix that. You have to raise the base, you know, and I said, no, it was already, the porch is already falling. You know, it's already sinking. It's just that top part kind of went off like this. So I had three places come. Two of them said, no, we've got to redo the whole porch. We've got to raise up the base, and then we can get that in there. And then I had, I forget who it was. It might have been Carboni. They came, and they just put some big lag bolts, and they pulled it back in.
Oh, my goodness.
I said, that's what had to happen.
So you found the place that would do it the cheapest?
I found a place
that would... the least work.
Yeah, like... I didn't want to rebuild the whole porch.
Well, right, I guess.
No.
Well, apparently it's that must have been 20 years ago. No, not 20, but...
It was a while ago.
10 or 15 at least.
Mm-hmm.
And I go by that house from time to time, and it appears the porch hasn't fallen off.
No, they did a good job.
All right.
There are some good places around here, some good companies. We've had some good people do plumbing...
Well, I don't have a whole lot more to get to unless there's anything else in my news. Anything else? How was raising me in general? terrible or okay?
No, raising you was great.
Oh, good. Thanks.
That was, you know, don't... You need to read some of the stuff I write sometimes, because I really... When I write about you and Natalie, it's just the best thing that ever happened to me.
Oh.
Yeah, you... I know that you had to do it, but I always hoped you wouldn't grow up, you know? Just I'd stay in the house, and we could just be, you know, a family forever.
Oh, that's very nice.
Yeah.
Well, I'm visiting in a month.
I know.
And?
It's always good to have you visit. And it's, I'm not sure if anybody really thinks about it too much, but when it's, you know, we're all back together again for a while, it's just, that's my happiest time.
Well, thanks. How is owning a condo and compared to a house?
Great.
Everyone should, we should have done that from the first place.
Well, I'm not so, you know, I think it's good when you get to be older. Excuse me, a little frog. Can't get the frog out of my throat.
Mm-hmm.
You can edit this out, right?
Yes, if I remember to.
Or not. This is what Mom has to deal with all the time. I think if, you know what? When you and Natalie were growing up, you always knew when Dad was coming because you heard...
Yep. Well, I knew when Dad was coming, but Mom was also relatively recognizable because she would carry her keys in such a way that they will jingle. And if she was coming to pick us up from the Catholic daycare that you guys made us go to, then that was great. That was a great sound.
Yeah, let's not go there. That was always awkward. I mean, not awkward, but difficult for me to put you guys in a
Catholic daycare.
Well, any kind of daycare.
Oh, okay.
I didn't like to leave you anywhere.
Well, they weren't particularly Catholic during the daycare part.
No.
But I didn't get along well with the leadership there, let's say.
I know.
I wasn't a bad kid, but I wanted to have more autonomy than they gave me.
And you had asked me a question a moment ago, and I forgot. I was answering it when I got a frog in my throat.
I was asking you, how is owning a condo over a house?
Oh, a condo,
should
right.
people do it?
I would say when you get tired of shoveling the snow off your walk all the time, or mowing your own lawn, or having to paint your house all the time. I can't tell you how many times I had to paint the garage.
I know, right?
And we finally had the house vinyled, so that was good. I had to repair steps. I had to repair doors. I had to repair the, what's that thing in the back that goes into the basement? The
bulkhead.
The bulkhead. I had to replace that a couple times. But, you know, I was younger and I could do it. And I felt a sense of accomplishment. But now I don't want to do all that. You know, I mean, the only thing I have to do is inside. So I can, and I don't even do much of that. I mean, Mom is actually going through the house and painting some of the molding on the walls, you know, by the floor. What's that called?
Sure.
And so she's taking care of some of that. But I, you know, I'll replace fixtures and sinks and stuff and do the inside stuff. It's nice.
Okay. So when did I get the house? 6.5 years ago? So 6.5 years ago minus one day is when I should have got a condo, right? Oh, boy. Oh, well.
I don't know. I wouldn't say should have, but, you know, you put a lot of work into this. Don't you feel like you've learned something and had some good experiences?
I haven't had any good experiences, but I've learned things. Okay. Now, this carpet, I don't know if you saw or looked that it's carpet. This is completely by me. I ripped out the old one and put in the new one.
Oh, okay.
Now, it's not great. If you look at the corners, you can definitely see the problem areas, but didn't have to pay anyone to do this.
Yeah, how do they do that? I mean, those guys, they measure it and they get it in there.
Right.
The professionals can do it. That's one thing I don't mess with. You know, we had the house painted inside and new carpets, and they did, you know, they do a good job.
Right. These shelves I did.
Oh.
That's about it.
I did redo the bathroom once in Keene, and I hated it so much that I hired a guy to do it again.
I don't remember that. Maybe I do. I do seem to remember the shower must have gotten updated at some point.
Yeah, I think I might have done some tiling, or I did some wallpaper in there, and I might have replaced one of the fixtures. But do you remember Earl?
No, sorry.
Yeah, you guys were young. Earl came and he just fixed the whole place up for you. He did a great job. I sometimes wonder what happened to Earl.
Me too.
Because then afterwards, I was looking for him to do a few more things and I couldn't find him.
Huh. Well, anything else?
No, you want to make a prediction about tomorrow's game?
The Cowboys will not be able to win. It'd be cool if they did. Now, to say that the Cowboys are unable to win is probably unfalse, untrue. Remember the Cowboys against the undefeated Saints last year? Came out and gave the Saints their first defeat of the year when everyone thought that was impossible. But against the Patriots at home, the Patriots haven't lost a home game for 14 straight or something.
They have lost a home game.
I don't know about this.
For 14 games? Yeah, it might have been going back to last year sometime.
Let's see. Patriots win 14th straight regular season game at home. Is this going to say at home? Home winning streak. And that was from September. So it's got to be more than 14. Now. Anyway, yeah, they're on a pretty long home winning streak.
Yeah. But they are struggling. Belichick is pretty good about figuring things out.
Yes.
But I think he might be working with a little bit too few tools this time. He doesn't have enough to work with. He's got a Brady who's injured.
If I had to put any money on it and I had to bank my best guess, I would say 24-7 Patriots.
Wow.
Probably.
Yeah. I think it'll be closer than that, but
it's going to be rainy and cold.
Yeah.
The Cowboys from Texas, they've never seen rain in their life, so I don't know.
Oh, they have.
All right, well, that's my prediction if I had to put money on it, and then my hope will be that it's a closer game than that.
I think it'll be a closer game than that.
All righty. Well, thanks for hanging out in the News with Nick studio. We're going to get ready for bed, I guess, or something.
That's a good
idea.
Not
the same bed, I suppose.
No, I'm looking forward to seeing this firm mattress you have, or like not seeing it, lying on it.
Right?
Yeah.
All right, everyone. Thanks for chatting, and head on over to newswithnick.com to see the video version of the show and sign up for text updates. Oh, well, I didn't send any text updates for this show, but I guess I'll just send a text update for when it gets posted, and then people can be like, oops, missed the live stream, but the show's posted.
Wait, we're live?
Yeah, we've been live this whole time.
Hi.
How did you think the chat was saying anything? Like people in the chat?
I'm just kidding.
Okay, good. All right, bye.
Bye.